Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. Today is Saturday, January the 19th. If you could go back in time, would you kill baby Hitler? Well, that's the question that is being posed after Ben Shapiro reportedly discussed this popular thought exercise at the March for Life rally in Washington, D.C. this weekend. And now it's a big issue because not only is he being attacked by left-wingers, but he looks like one of the alleged sponsors of Daily Wire's podcast has decided to pull their advertising over this kerfuffle. So let's just break it down and look at what's going on. Mediaite, which is ostensibly left-leaning, just an FYI, I know quite a bit about this website, especially because we used it quite a bit when I was an employee at Fox. We knew very well that Mediaite was left-leaning, but they are reporting on this. Tamer Auber says that Ben Shapiro reportedly loses sponsor after Baby Hitler March for Life speech. Now, again, when I read this language to you, remember, this is not my language, this is Mediaite. It says, Ben Shapiro's decision to reportedly read ads during his March for Life speech, which included a rant about baby Hitler, has cost him a podcast sponsor. On Friday, the conservative commentator gleaned attention, especially online, after he said most notably during the pro-life march that, quote, no pro-life person on earth would kill baby Hitler. I mean, obviously, I think that was meant to be funny, but it's also meant to prove a point on based on a very popular thought exercise that most people who have considered philosophy for more than 10 seconds have been posed. He says, the argument, I guess, here is, would you kill baby Hitler, Shapiro said during the talk that was simultaneously broadcast on his podcast. He added, and the truth is that no pro-life person on earth would kill baby Hitler because baby Hitler wasn't Hitler. Adult Hitler was Hitler. Baby Hitler was a baby. The Huffington Post, another left-wing rags, also note he read ads, including one for Quip, during the speech. His, they say, bizarre baby Hitler riff, which was in response to a submitted question, sparked widespread backlash on Twitter. And of course it did, because the left wing is always looking for something to be outraged about. This one's funny. Jess Dweck on Twitter said, quote, baby Hitler sounds like Ben Shapiro's rap name. Okay. Kind of funny, but also, why are you calling a Jew a Nazi? That makes no sense. Nick Pappas says, I think Ben Shapiro has a good point. We need to go back in time and take baby Ben Shapiro out of baby Ben Shapiro's house and move into a better house where he wouldn't grow up to be Ben Shapiro. Okay, Nick Pappas, not funny. Mike Drucker says, nothing says you're going to be in the right side of history like having more sympathy for baby Hitler than you do for actual children at the border. Ooh, tough one. Yeah, I don't know if that's 100% a correct premise there, Mike Drucker. Then late Friday, one of his podcast sponsors, whose ad was reportedly read by Shapiro, announced that they were pulling out because their ad was, quote, being read in a venue we did not endorse. Our mission is to make good oral health more accessible to everyone, and podcast advertising is one way we're able to realize this, Quip, a toothbrush company, said, according to a statement obtained by the Huffington Post. However, following one of our ads being read in a venue we did not endorse, we have chosen to discontinue our advertising relationship with this show. We are also taking steps to ensure all of our advertising partners are aligned with our oral health mission and values. Shapiro also tweeted the video, encouraged people to watch for yourself. Well, I did watch it for myself, and I guess I'm really confused by the language that Quip is using here for attacking Shapiro, because they're saying, our mission is to make good oral health more accessible, and podcast advertising is one way we're able to realize this. But the problem was that they read the ad in a venue that they did not endorse, right? And they're trying to make sure that all their advertising partners are aligned with our oral health mission and values. I guess I'm wondering how it is that this ad being read in this venue could be considered something out of line with your oral health mission and values. I mean, put aside the fact that, you know, we're talking about oral health here versus opinions, political opinions, but Ben Shapiro's political opinions about abortion are pretty widely known. And I'm sure he talks about this quite frequently on the Ben Shapiro show, his pro-life positions. So it's not like he's saying anything at the March for Life that he wouldn't say on his podcast. Now they're saying specifically that their problem is that he said it in a venue that they did not endorse. Okay, so Quip Oral Health, I don't get it. Why would Quip Oral Health give money to Ben Shapiro to advertise their product on his podcast, but to say the exact same things that he was saying in his podcast that he said it in a venue? Well, I mean, I understand maybe you don't endorse that venue, but why would you have given Ben Shapiro money in the first place knowing that he had these views? And I guess I'm curious because there's not enough information here for us to go on, but is the problem that... I guess I'm getting myself tied up in knots in this one because I just don't understand the logic that's being used. They don't endorse the venue, but they do endorse the man's views on his own podcast. But if he says it at a pro-life event, then all of a sudden we have a problem with this? I'm really confused here. Are you guys confused? And I'm confused because this is what happens. And here's the one mistake that Ben Shapiro made. Ben Shapiro made a mistake with the same mistake that I made a lot of times. I have made many times, is that you're teaching to the A students. And unfortunately, you've heard me talk about this many times. Unfortunately, most people, especially those people who are involved in politics, they tend to be dumber than I think on average, right? If you average that out, you're probably going to find the people who are like most active in politics, who tend to be social Democrats, no coincidence there, have no effing clue the first thing about philosophy. Okay. So when Ben Shapiro talks about the baby Hitler thought experiment, all of the A students are like, yeah, boring. We read about this back when Jeb Bush was asked this exact same question and said that, yes, he would kill baby Hitler. Right? Do you all remember when Jeb Bush was asked? No, of course you didn't, because you didn't pay attention. And if you did pay attention to that, good for you. Bully for you. You probably remember then the time that there was an actual study done on whether or not, or there was a New York Times Magazine. Yes, they did a poll of their people and asked if people could go back in time and kill Hitler as a baby, would you do it? 30% said no, 28% said not sure, and 42% said yes. Well, of course, because 42% of people just responded like Jeb Bush did without a brain, said yes, oh yeah, I'd go back in time and kill baby Hitler. But of course, that I want to talk about this thought exercise here in just a couple minutes, but I want to focus on the news item of this. What Ben Shapiro was saying is not controversial, nor is it new, right? Nor is it anything offensive. And it to me, it just again shows that the people who control the argument, the debate, the media, like the BuzzFeed, these are the people who read BuzzFeed, okay? These are the people who are offended by this. Those are the people who read BuzzFeed and think that that's real news. And as we've seen in the last 24 to 48 hours, it's not. It's not real news, okay? So stop reading BuzzFeed and stop reading all these liberal media outlets that are nothing but propaganda outlets, or at least read the ones that are open about the fact that they're propaganda outlets, like Jacobin Magazine. Jacobin Magazine is a great example of a left-wing periodical that makes no bones about it being Marxist, socialist, communist, leftist, right? Daily Wire is open about its biases. BuzzFeed and all these other things, if they're trying to sell them off as being real news, just don't believe them, guys. But anyways, that's a tangent. So the baby Hitler question is not new. It's something that's been discussed many times in the popular media. And the fact that people don't understand it, it's not really Ben's fault that people don't understand it, because I know how it feels, Ben, if you're hearing this podcast. I know how it feels to have people take everything that you say and misinterpret it, not because you don't understand what you're talking about, but because they don't understand what you're talking about. And you know, frankly, the fact of the matter is you can't do anything about that to a certain degree. You know, Ben's not running for office, right? Or not, at least not yet, right? He's not a politician, so he doesn't have to speak at a third grade level to try and get elected. He's trying to educate people, right? And there's a big difference between what Ben Shapiro does and say Jeb Bush was doing when he was running for office, right? Jeb Bush was being asked that question. He wasn't considering that from a philosophical question because he was thinking about it. What's the most politically correct thing to say? Well, guess what? 42% of people said yes. So the most politically correct thing to say is yes, of course, if you're running for office, yes, kill baby Hitler. Right, but if you're Ben Shapiro and you're trying to educate people about a pretty common thought experiment, or at least make a reference to it, then, oh, okay, all of a sudden we have a problem? It's just absolute nonsense, and the garbage that I'm seeing from the left is worse than we usually see. Right, we've got people like Chelsea Handler saying, "Why are Ben Shapiro and baby Hitler trending? I don't have enough alcohol on hand to find out why." Wajahat Ali says, quote, "Baby Hitler was a baby. Ben Shapiro, intellectual." Of course, take it out of context and try and paint him as an idiot, which he's obviously not. Ben Shapiro is like 10 out of 10 max conservative brain. And, you know, I would not want to challenge him on conservative grounds. Libertarian grounds, yes. Foreign policy, yeah, probably, Ben. Call me up and we'll have a debate. But this thought experiment now, I'm actually going to go to a pretty open and avowed left-wing publication. They do try and paint themselves as journalists, but it's a great little breakdown of this thought exercise. Before I discuss this, read this Vox article, let me just put a pin on it and say that I think that it makes no sense why this podcasting advertiser would drop Ben Shapiro for saying something at a venue that he would have said on his own podcast. I think that the reasons that the excuse that they gave to do so is absolute horse hockey. And now let's talk about whether or not you should kill baby Hitler. And in Austin's opinion, you shouldn't kill baby Hitler. The philosophical problem of killing baby Hitler explained by Dylan Matthews at Vox. He writes, if you woke up this morning and asked yourself, would conservative podcaster Ben Shapiro travel backwards through and kill and murder Adolf Hitler when Hitler was a tiny baby, then A, you should seek help, but B, I have an answer to your question. Shapiro would not kill baby Hitler, as explained in a presumably confused crowd at the anti-abortion March for Life. I don't know that the crowd was necessarily confused. I think that the left-wing journalists who were watching it and the left-wing bloggers and the blue checkmark Twitterati fascists, I think that they were the ones who were confused. So let's just get that right. I don't think I bet the crowd probably pays a little bit more attention to politics and is a little bit more in the know on philosophy than you might think here, Vox. Anyways, Shapiro's baffling remarks on Friday, baffling again to the left, yes, revised a debate that first became a mass public concern in October of 2015 when the New York Times Magazine decided to tweet this for some reason. And that was the thing that I read earlier. Would you kill baby Hitler? Given certain assumptions, this isn't a hard question. Assume that going back in time merely eliminates Hitler, and that the sole effect of that is the Nazi Party lacks a charismatic leader and never takes power in Germany, and World War II and the Holocaust are averted, and nothing worse than World War II transpires in this alternate reality, and there are no unintended negative consequences of time travel. Then the question is reduced to, is it ethical to kill one person to save 40-plus million people? That's pretty easy. You don't have to be a diehard utilitarian to think one baby is an acceptable price to pay to save tens of millions of lives. But of course, those assumptions are strong, too strong. Here are just a few of the issues you'd need to sort out before even starting to intelligently consider whether killing baby Hitler could be wise. Can time travel actually change history? Jajum, jum, jajum, Terminator. Jajum, jum, jajum. Da-na-na, da-na-na. The first question here is whether backwards time travel is actually functionally possible. Again, we're teaching to the B students here, so we're using big words. Whether time travel is functionally possible. This is a different question from whether it's technically possible. It seems quite plausible that backward time travel could exist, but that it would actually be impossible to actually change the course of history using it. This is how time travel is depicted in movies like 12 Monkeys or The Terminator, where in Matt Iglesias' words, temporal jumping simply turns out to be a feature of a universe that is nonetheless an unchanging four-dimensional block. In Terminator, for example, Kyle Reese is sent back to protect Sarah Connor because her son, John, will later become an anti-Skynet resistance leader. But Reese winds up fathering John. His time travel was a part of the timeline all along. This idea that time travel could be possible, but must be consistent with the past as it has already taken place, is known amongst physicists as the Novikov self-consistency principle. It's possible that this principle is wrong, but it behooves people who think past altering time travel is possible to explain how to avoid paradoxes. Suppose you go back in time and kill your grandfather before your mother or father has been conceived. This action creates a world in which you exist, but your existence is logically impossible. Things like that just can't happen, which is why many physicists and philosophers embrace the Novikov self-consistency principle. The late great philosopher David Kellogg Lewis explained this well in his 1976 paper, The Paradoxes of Time Travel. If Tim did not kill the grandfather in the original 1921, then if he does kill grandfather in the new 1921, he must both kill and not kill grandfather in 1921, in the one and only 1921, which is both the new and original 1921. It is logically impossible that Tim should change the past by killing grandfather in 1921, so Tim cannot kill grandfather. There are some fictional depictions of attempted retroactive Hitler assassinations that explain how this principle works in practice. In Cradle of Darkness, an episode of the 2002 reboot of The Twilight Zone, Katherine Heigl's character is sent back in time to kill baby Hitler. She succeeds, But Hitler's mother adopts another baby and raises it as Adolf, who grows up to leave the Nazi party, start World War II, and carry out the Holocaust, right? So that's making the assumption, this is the nature versus nurture debate, right? So the question is like, would this have happened if it wasn't specifically Hitler? And there are a lot of reasons to think that it definitely could have happened even without Adolf Hitler, right? All these other characters, Hermann Goering and all these guys, they all existed too. And there was the anti-Semitism was rampant in Europe leading up to World War II. It had been, I mean, anti-Semitism is still rampant in Europe, still rampant worldwide. It's now we have anti-Semitic members of our Congress, but I digress. So anyways, so the question here is, First of all, let me get back to the topic of Ben Shapiro. Sorry I'm jumping all over here, guys, but this is just a fun topic and also fires me up. And I'm also kind of mad because it just pisses me off that people get so angry about something, and this is my point, about something that we have been debating for decades. Decades, right? There were people writing papers about this since the 1970s, right? You had to think that people were going to be considering this all the way back to, you know, as soon as Hitler was dead, the first people thought to themselves, man, you know, 1945, let's think to ourselves, man, wish we could have gone back in time, like, you know, and killed baby Hitler, right? So it's not something new that people have contended with, but it's new to a lot of people, so all of a sudden, it's news. But the fact that this is now becoming an issue where, you know, Ben Shapiro is losing podcast sponsors, it's now another new issue because people don't pay attention, and people, of course, forget their history, so we're all doomed in repeating it. Anyways. Similarly, in the 1977 novella, The Primal Solution, this imagines an elderly Jewish scientist and Holocaust survivor attempting to go back in time, control Hitler's mind, and force him to drown himself. Hitler survives, identifies the force trying to kill him as Jewish, and becomes a vociferous anti-Semite, setting the Nazi rise to power and the Holocaust into motion. These aren't very satisfying versions of Hitler killing time travel, but they're versions that obey the Novikov self-consistency principle and thus make considerably more internal sense than versions in which you really can go back in time and kill the actual Hitler, right? Okay, so time-traveling metaphysics, right? This is tricky, right? Let's get ourselves out of this thicket by supposing instead that no time-traveling takes place, and instead we're an Austrian living in the town of Braunau am Inn in 1889, and we have a strong premonition that the wee baby Adolf is going to grow up, kill tens of millions of people, and we're thus driven to kill him. You know your predictions are correct. No time-travel paradoxes are going to be created. Do you do it? It depends on quite a few factors. For one thing, baked into the premise of this question is the idea that Nazis would not have risen to power, launched World War II, and carried out the Holocaust were it not for the existence of Adolf Hitler. You could certainly imagine a history in which Hitler didn't exist, the party lacked a charismatic leader, and it never came to power, Germany muddled through the Great Depression, the Weimar Republic kept going, and World War II never arose. Yeah, right, probably wouldn't. Those are some major, major big assumptions, right? But you can also imagine, and one thing too, just to top World War II knowledge, one of the things that people contend with is that all the assassination attempts that were made on Hitler while he was during the war, it probably would have not been good for the war effort if somebody competent had taken over, because Adolf Hitler made so many tactical mistakes in how he defended the Atlantic Wall, how he waged the campaign to support all of the failed campaigns in Italy, how he waged the war against the Soviets, right? In some ways, Adolf Hitler, if this was going to happen anyway, Adolf Hitler may have been the best person to have at the top of the ticket there because of his incompetence in military planning, right? Because of the way that he structured his command structure versus how the Allies did so, right? He had to have command of, like, tanks. He, like, separated tank battalions. Anyways, I'm just trying to show off my World War II knowledge because, you know, it's lit. And anyways, if you like World War II, tonight, January 19th, Saturday night, on Twitch, we're going to be playing a World War II game, Battlefield 5, and you guys can join us on twitch.com/APForLiberty, where we can actually kill some real Nazis. And no baby Nazis, though. Right? You could imagine an alternate history where the Nazis don't take power, but the Volkisch movement in post-World War I Germany gives rise to another anti-Semitic regime, or at least a regime that also sparks a Second World War. Or maybe Germany is fine, but absent World War II, tensions between the U.S. and Soviet boil into a hot war that is even bloodier and more destructive than the actual Second War was. Maybe this war doesn't lead to the kind of post-war human rights revolution that World War II actually did, slowing the spread of liberal democracy and causing additional suffering for millions. All of which is to say, we have no idea how the world had differed if Hitler had died in infancy. We don't know how much weaker or stronger the Nazi Party would have been. We don't know if a second UK, France, Russia versus Germany war could have been avoided, and if so, whether another bloodier war would have occurred instead. And unless we have answers on all that, we can't know the consequences of killing Hitler, and thus whether killing Hitler did more good than harm. So if we can't know if killing Hitler is right or wrong, can we know if anything is right or wrong? This is actually a general problem for consequentialist moral theories. That is, theories where the morality of an action depends entirely on what the consequences of that action would be. So in his 2000 paper, Consequentialism and Cluelessness, University of Sheffield's James Lenman explained the issue using the case of a German bandit in the year 100 BCE, attempting to decide whether killing a distant ancestor of, you guessed it, Adolf Hitler, right? Imagine you are in southern Germany, 100 years before the birth of Jesus. Okay, a certain bandit, Richard, quite lost to history, has raided a village and killed all its inhabitants, bar one. The final survivor, a pregnant woman named Angie, he finds hiding in a house about to be burned. On a whim of compassion, he orders that her life be spared. But perhaps by consequentialist standards, he should not have done so. For let's suppose that Angie was a great, 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 great grandmother of Adolf Hitler. The millions of Hitler's victims were thus also victims of Richard's sparing of Angie. Do Hitler's crimes mean that Richard acted wrongly in consequentialist terms? They do not. For Hitler's crimes may not be the most significant consequence of Richard's action. Perhaps had Richard killed Angie, her son Peter would have avenged her, thus causing Richard's widowed wife, Samantha, to get married again to Francis. And perhaps had all this happened, Francis and Samantha would have had a descendant 115 generations on, call him Malcolm the Truly Appalling, who would have conquered the world, and in doing so, committed crimes vastly more extensive and terrible than those of Hitler. Lenman's point is that if morality is really about maximizing good consequences, then it's a problem that the immediate consequences of an action like killing an innocent villager can be swamped by the consequences thousands of years in the future, with which no one could ever reasonably foresee, right? Maybe you met at a bar last weekend, and their progeny 2,000 years from now is going to cause human extinction, right? That implied that the worst thing that you ever did in your entire life was to refrain from murdering that bar person, right? The person in the bar. This seems to imply that there's basically no way to know if you're making the right ethical decisions. Either ethical living is impossible, or a moral theory less dependent on actions' consequences is needed, right? Tyler Cowen argued in a response paper that the existence of serious uncertainty is important and humbling, but it doesn't render estimation of an event's likely effects totally impossible. If we know the near-term effects of foiling a nuclear terrorism plot are that millions of people don't die and don't know what the long-term effects will be, there's still a good reason to foil the plot. But the epistemic critique, as Lenman's argument has come to be known, is important when we're considering less direct consequences, like the effects of murdering an infant in 1889 on War and Peace in 1939. This isn't like foiling a nuclear bomb plot. We just don't know what the consequences of killing Hitler would have been at any point. That renders the problem of Hitler and infanticide all but unsolvable, right? That's what you think, but the fact of the matter is that it is pretty solvable. You don't kill babies, because babies can grow up to be anything. And yes, they can grow up to be baby Hitler, but that doesn't give you an excuse to do it, because you shouldn't be punished for future crimes, like Ben Shapiro said. Anyways, again, I find myself on Ben Shapiro's side. I don't always agree with Ben Shapiro, guys. To say the same of Ben Shapiro, I am a fan. Obviously, I think that he's a very good conservative. Obviously, I'm a libertarian, so we do have some different opinions, but we agree on this. Do not kill baby Hitler. Thanks so much for listening to Freedom Report Podcast. You can always download us at Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Podbean, everywhere you get. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at AP4Liberty. Do us a favor, guys, and subscribe, like, and share. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.